Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, talking about this Marlins series, some comments from the Colorado Rockies about this 2025 season, the disappointment that it is, and giving you a fair warning about Thursday's game against the Marlins. Be ready for their starting pitcher. Who is it? Let's jump into this Marlins series. Crummy weather right from the get-go on Tuesday and Wednesday. We had an hour and 1 minute rain delay on Tuesday, a long rain delay again on Wednesday on Bark at the Park night. So I imagine the entire stadium smelled of wet dog, which is never ideal. But yeah, weather really down, and just in general, the interest right now in the Rockies just at an all-time low with the NFL here and Colorado on the road for two of the final 3 weeks. And then the final week that they are home, it's against the Marlins and Angels, who have absolutely no juice whatsoever. Mike Trout still plays on the Angels, but I don't know how many people are going to be coming out to the ballpark this weekend specifically to see Mike Trout in the Angels for the final three games. I asked on social media, at Patrick D. Lyons on Blue Sky and on X, if the lineup on Tuesday night, the first lineup of the final homestand of this season, how much was it going to look like the one we see on opening day next year in 2026? Kyle Freeland was on the mound on Tuesday night, just as you would expect him to be on opening day next year. But that lineup, how many of these guys will be back next year starting? Sure, health is probably going to take at least one of them out. But how many of them do you feel confident in that Colorado is going to run out to begin the season and play the next 162? We'll see. Again, some of these guys are young. All of them are young. In fact, in that lineup on Tuesday, the oldest player was 28-year-old Blaine Crim, and he had the least amount of experience in the majors. And yet he was the oldest guy in the starting lineup. Tyler Freeman at DH, Mickey Moniak in right, Hunter Goodman at catcher. Okay, lock that one in. Jordan Beck in left field, lock that in. Ezekiel Tovar at shortstop, Brenton Doyle in center field, lock those two in. Blaine Crim at first, Kyle Karros at third, interesting. Ryan Ritter at second base. Karros and Ritter both get maybe. I've been starting to do some doodling as to what the Rockies might do at the start of next season, what they would look to do in free agency or in trades. And there's definitely a lot of spots that are going to be open for the 2026 club. And I can see Ryan Ritter right now because he can play shortstop. So he's the backup shortstop for Tovar. He's essentially going to be the utility infielder who can play second, short, and third base. Are they going to go with Karros from the get-go at the beginning of next season? A lot is going to happen between now and then. But, you know, I honestly think that as lackluster as this lineup might seem to be right now, and some guys playing well, Hunter Goodman's incredible. Mickey Moniak has been incredible. I've got some interesting statistical updates from that incredible game he had on Sunday in San Diego. But you have some other guys on down years, other guys who are just fine. They're kind of league average hitters. You forget how good league average can be, and also how few league average players the Rockies have had in the last few seasons. You forget how they've been missing those league average pieces. So, you know, I think there's a chance there's three or four new names in the starting lineup, certainly at first base, Blaine Crim. is not one you're going to look to say, oh, he's definitely going to be in the lineup next year, or he's going to have a shot. No, probably not. But the other eight guys, including Kyle Freeland, you know, could they all be back in the starting lineup? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Freeman and Moniak, give me one of those two guys to come back. Karros and Rito, give me one of those two guys to be in the starting lineup in opening day next year. Let me know over on social media, or leave a comment anywhere on the Rockies Insider page on YouTube. Let me know, what is the opening day lineup going to look like? Will it be similar to Tuesday night's lineup to the start of the final homestand? That lineup, let me know. Tuesday was a 6-5 loss that didn't really feel like it was that close of a game, to be honest. The Rockies had an opportunity in the ninth. Unfortunately, did not get it done. Kyle Freeland, not his best. 5 2/3 innings pitch, gave up 8 hits, walked one, only struck out one after having a career high his last start in Colorado. Gave up 6 runs and took his 16th loss of the season. It's tied for most in the majors in 2025, and also tied for second most for a Rocky in a single season in franchise history, tying with Jamie Wright back in 2005. Only Darryl Kyle with 17 losses in 1998 has more. Freeland will get to start at least, no, not at least, 2 more times. It won't be more than 2. Impossible. Right now, he is slated to go on Sunday unless they push him back one day. And even still, if you push him back to next Tuesday in Seattle, he would still pitch the final game of the regular season in San Francisco, because you're not going to a 6-man rotation. And Sunday being the final game at home at Coors Field for the Rockies, I think you do want Kyle Freeland to go out there and pitch that game and then throw, it would be probably Friday night, Friday or Saturday in San Francisco to close out his season. So yeah, 2 starts, there are 2 losses. He will set a new Rockies franchise record with 18 losses. We'll see what happens there. Freeland did in that game, you might have noticed, he had the number 21 patch on his upper left chest and on the back of his hat, as he was the Rockies Roberto Clemente Award nominee. Props to him, because that's a real special thing, because the Roberto Clemente Award is one of those things that celebrates humanitarians. It celebrates Roberto Clemente first and foremost, but it's something that one player from every club gets nominated for and has an opportunity to be recognized for representing the game of baseball through, quote, extraordinary character, community involvement, philanthropy, and positive contributions both on and off the field, end quote. In fact, if you want to get involved in this, you can actually vote now live and cast your ballot for Kyle Freeland or anyone else you feel is deserving. Freeland has given back a lot to his community. He is from Denver, so he has given back a lot, and I think he would be worthy of a vote should you decide to get out there and vote for the Roberto Clemente Award. The offense, as I said, this game was one that on Tuesday night just, it wasn't as close as the final score would have suggested. Colorado had 1 hit through the first 7 innings. It was only Blaine Crim. That was it. Who does have 3 hits, or does have hits in 3 of his 4 games since getting promoted. Props to Yuri Perez. I told you how Perez and Sandy Alcantara are back on the comeback trail after having Tommy John surgery. Yuri Perez, 5 innings, only allowed 1 hit, no runs allowed, no walks, 6 strikeouts before the rain delay, became only the 3rd pitcher in history to spin 5 or more shutout frames at Coors Field while allowing 1 or fewer hits and walking none. Logan Webb did that in September of 2022. Randy Johnson did that May 15th, 2007. So on the back end of his career, and now Yuri Perez can put his name on that list. Yuri Perez, look out. He is going to pitch in a postseason game for the Marlins at some point in the next 2 years. Mark my word. Mickey Moniak had a 3-run home run in that game, went 2-for-5 with the dinger, 3 RBI. He ended up breaking that shutout with his 8th inning home run, his 3rd homer in his last 2 games. Had homer to back-to-back games for the 6th time in his career, 4th time this season. in fact, could have had an RBI in the ninth. A run did score on a ball he put into play, but it was an error. So he was not able to get four RBI. I talked on Monday's podcast about that incredible 4-for-4 game in San Diego in his hometown ballpark. 2 stolen bases, 5 RBI, and how rare that was. No Rocky had ever done that. In fact, he was just the third player since 1901, the start of the modern era, to have at least 4 hits, 2 homers, 2 stolen bases, and 5 RBI in a single game, joining Brandon Phillips back in 2015. And that Shohei Ohtani game, September 19th, 2024, in Miami, I will not forget that game anytime soon. Watching it with my dad, going ballistic, him hearing me inside the house. He was outside taking the dog for a walk. And it was like, there's no way this guy is going to continue to hit home runs in every at-bat, get a base hit in every at-bat. Unbelievable what Ohtani was able to do last year. Oh, yeah, and then he had 5 no-hit innings also on Tuesday night. He is just ridiculous. Moniak, with that game on Sunday, became the fourth player in franchise history with 4 hits, 2 homers, and 5 RBI on the road, joining CJ Cron March 30th, 2023. Remember when the Rockies started 2-0? Man, 2 days in March. Where's that documentary at? Larry Walker did it 3 times, the last of which was in 2004 in Cleveland. And Vinny Castilla did it 2 times, the last time April of 98 against his old club in Atlanta. On defense on Tuesday night, Tovar made his 9th error of the season. He made 8 all of last year in nearly twice as many games. Unfortunately, his gold glove reign is going to end at 1. Don't even think he will be a finalist. Again, that's going to happen when you miss close to half of your team's games. Like, that's just going to happen. But if you know anything about Ezekiel Tovar, he will come back with a vengeance in 2026. And I would bet we are going to see one of the best seasons we've seen out of Ezekiel Tovar, because this is just a young man, just determined. And I say young man, and yet he's going to enter his 4th full season in 2026, his 5th season in general. And the sky's the limit for him, I think, in a lot of ways. And it might not be the same sky as a Troy Tulowitzki, but it could be the sky in the sense that he is able to perform at an all-star level, maybe not an MVP level, but an all-star level for a decade. So essentially longer than Troy Tulowitzki was able to do, because Tulo had all of those injuries. So maybe more compiling than pure excellence, but I would not doubt Ezekiel Tovar comes back with a vengeance in 2026. On Wednesday night, McCade Brown was good, not great. 2 scoreless innings to start the game against the Marlins. That was nice to see. Ultimately gave up 1 in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th. So 4 innings from him, 4 hits, 4 walks. That was the thing, unfortunately, that did do him in. Allowed 3 runs, only struck out 1. So his ERA dips ever so slightly, 9.17 ERA. Is McCade Brown really going to be someone that contends for a spot in the rotation? Certainly he'll be part of their depth, and certainly he could be a member of this rotation by the end of next year, a solid contributing one. But for a guy that started the year at High A Spokane and, you know, was able to have some success at Double A, the jump to the majors definitely has seemed like a lot for him. And that's fine. This is just his start. It's not where he ends. This is not what's going to define him, but it certainly is a factor for thinking about what the rotation is going to look like next year. Because really, with the injuries to Ryan Feltner this season and Chase Dolander, you think is going to be back and fine. He finishes the year on the IL. But right now, what's your rotation? Kyle Freeland and Chase Dolander? You've got Tanner Gordon there as your number 3 hitter, as your number 3 starter or 2, however you want to dice it up. And even then, you know, can Tanner Gordon keep this going? He's shown enough. He's shown enough. And really, there's no better competition right now. So Freeland, Dolander, Tanner Gordon, and honestly, I do think Antonio Senzatella will probably start the year. We've got a way to go. I know a lot can happen, but Senzatella just as that depth piece, ride him out for a while until you start calling up some of these younger pitchers from the upper levels of the minors. I don't know if Senzatella will even get 10 starts next year, but he might begin the season in the rotation. So, you know, even still, in knowing that Freeland is guaranteed a spot, Dolander more likely than not is guaranteed a spot, that bodes well for Tanner Gordon. It does mean that you do need to pick up probably two starting pitchers. You need two veteran starting pitchers for next season. Because even if you want McCade Brown to get more starts, you might not want him to begin the season in the rotation, in the majors. Work on a couple things in AAA. Can you redo AA? I guess. I don't know how that would benefit him. He's already proved that he's capable of having a lot of success in the Eastern League, in the AA Eastern League. So I think it benefits him more to begin the year at AAA. And again, you have that depth. Build that depth up. Gabriel Hughes, I'd love to for him to make 20 starts in the majors next year. But if you're making 20 starts in the majors next year, it means you're making about 10 in the minors. So, okay, he is going to begin next season in AAA Albuquerque. So you can understand how the Rockies might say, well, it seems to me like we've got a lot of really good young starting pitchers that we want to give opportunities to next year that may not be ready to start the year. So why would we really want to invest in starting pitchers like heavily, and not, you know, a 5-year, $100 million contract type heavily, but can you go out and sign two starting pitchers for $9, $10 million to eat innings? I think you should. I think there's enough payroll flexibility that the Rockies are going to try to be in the mid-teens with how they spend. They haven't really done that the last year or two.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
But go out and spend to give the rotation some depth, put a little less pressure on a very young offense, and allow some of your young starting pitchers to develop in the minors. Like that's of great benefit, but you're going to have to go out and pay for that. I'm not going to say it's a luxury, but the Rockies should certainly look into doing something like that versus signing two or three guys to non-roster deal, non-roster invite, and saying, hey, if you got a really good spring, you can start in the rotation. You've got big league innings under your belt in years past, and you were a somewhat reliable veteran starting pitcher. They've been doing that the last 3 years. Chase Anderson, right? Do we remember that? Jose Urania, Chris Flexen. Do we remember those guys from 2023? Yeah, it didn't work. They've got to do something differently. So McCade Brown, we'll see what happens going forward there. But make sure you are ready on Thursday, 1:10 start. Be ready for Sandy Alcantara, because he has been really good since the trade deadline. Like really good. Overall, you're looking at his numbers and saying, not great, but 3.81 ERA, 24% strikeout rate, only a 5% walk rate since the All-Star break. His 52 innings pitched, ninth most in the MLB since then. Only Kevin Gausman and Trevor Rogers have thrown more innings over 8 starts. So he's been really good. And even his first couple starts after the deadline were not great. So he's got a 2.48 ERA in his past 6 outings with an even higher 27% strikeout percentage. The dude is locked in. You begin to understand why the Marlins and general manager Peter Bendix did not want to trade their Cy Young Award winner. They knew that the best was yet to come, and not this is the best it's going to be for this player. The Rockies need to understand that if you've got someone where this is the best it's going to be for this player, cash in that chip, because it might not be worth anything next year. But if it's the best is yet to come, you can understand to wait. You can understand that kind of waiting. If you are going to head out to the ballpark on Thursday and go early, really cool event. You do need a special ticket package. And I'm not sure what time it starts. It could be as early as 10 a.m. I know in years past when they've done this, after talking with players in the clubhouse, we'll walk it. We get feeded out into the dugout and they're sitting right on top of the dugout, right above us having this event. It's called the Business of Baseball, and the Rockies and so many people in their front office, they welcome students that are really interested in learning like what goes into working for a Major League Baseball team. You know, what is it like? And I think they even have some questions that you can ask. So it's a really, really cool event and not necessarily eye-opening, but definitely inspiring. I can remember being a young person, being in high school, even in college, and getting a chance to, you know, brush up against that, you know, people that worked in sports media or in professional sports and just thinking, man, that, you know, this person was able to do it. They seem like a regular folk just like me. Maybe I can do it. Or what can I do next to get myself that much closer to having such a transition? And, you know, it's possible. So I recommend that. They might even have something on the YouTube page. I feel like I've seen some things before about that, but it's a really cool event called The Business of Baseball. Highly, highly recommend that. Before Wednesday's game, Zach Agnos threw some live batting practice, threw about 25 pitches, used his full arsenal, used his entire pitch mix. The plan is for him to throw again on Saturday. Remains to be seen if he will be back in time for the final game of the regular season on September 28th. But if he's thrown again on Saturday, he's already thrown a live BP on Wednesday. I think that does bode well for him returning. Still no real word on Seth Halverson. Not sure that he is going to return. Told you I didn't think he would. Just doesn't seem like it's going to be the case. I think tomorrow I'll let you know. I'll key you in on some of the things that Kyle Freeland said. His message to fans. Warren Schaefer, what's his message to fans? What are some of his theories on why the team gets off to a slow start every game? They're just outscored ridiculously in the first inning. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Do want to finish up on Cal Raleigh. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I actually was watching something on YouTube and there was a T-Mobile video and he was in it. And I just thought, okay, is he going to be national now? I don't know. I still don't think a ton of people might be aware of him if you're not in the Pacific Northwest. Baseball fans are, of course, sure. Most of you probably know what he looks like, sure. But then there's the rest of the 95% of the general population that may not. Now, he does play his games in T-Mobile Park, so that does make sense. So perhaps it was a case of filming some local T-Mobile commercials, you know, for the Pacific Northwest, for the PNW. And now, because of his incredible season, it's going national. And because, you know, the Mariners are making their push to go to the postseason, if he can get himself into the postseason and more people start talking about this player whose nickname is actually Big Dumper, yeah, that's good for baseball. You know, it's impressive enough that you have a catcher who on Tuesday night hit his 55th and 56th home run of the season. If you're a baseball fan, you know how impressive that is for a catcher. But if you're not, you don't know that catchers do not hit 56 home runs in a season. You don't know that catchers don't miss three games in a season. They miss a lot more than that. I think Kyle Raleigh's only missed three games this season. So that is incredibly impressive. He's also a switch hitter. So he passes Mickey Mantle, who had 55 home runs as a switch hitter in 1961. So he now has that record. He also has tied Ken Griffey Jr. for most home runs in Mariners history when the kid hit 56 in 97 and 98. So that's remarkable stuff. And it still might not be enough, believe it or not, for him to win American League MVP. And I'm torn. I honestly don't know, and I don't have a vote for AL MVP. I'm a National League award voter. Do I have an MVP vote this year? you're going to have to stay tuned, but Judge versus Cal Raleigh, because of everything Cal Raleigh has done this year, it seems as if there's no way Cal Raleigh can't win MVP with everything he's been able to do as a catcher, the reigning Platinum Glove Award winner in the American League. I'll say that again, the Platinum Glove Award winner in the American League. He was the best defender in all of the AL last year. Not just the best catcher, best overall defender. And he's able to do this offensively. He maybe has taken a step back behind the plate, but he is the captain of the pitching staff that has navigated its way potentially to the postseason. And yet Aaron Judge is just continuing to do it despite, you know, maybe needing Tommy John surgery. I don't know. I don't know where he's at with this, but if you want to use a metric like wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference, Judge has a decent edge over Raleigh. So if you're just looking at that, it's Judge over Cal Raleigh. If you're looking at Fangraph's version of war, it's virtual tie. I also find it interesting that top five in Major League Baseball this year, Fangraph's right now, is Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh, Bobby Witt Jr., Shohei Ohtani, and Geraldo Perdomo. Gotta love that story. But, you know, I honestly think that, you know, despite the fact that Aaron Judge's numbers are still absolutely incredible, not taking any downturn, 33 years old, he's not missing a step. He's not. Sure, he leads the American League in batting average at the time of recording and on base and slugging. So yeah, he could win the slash triple crown, which is a rarity to do that, to have the best batting average, on base percentage, and slugging. And so I do have to say that is hard to look at that and say, no, he shouldn't be MVP, but it takes something special. It takes something magical. And for Cal Raleigh, a catcher, to be doing this, that's pretty damn special. You know, does Judge need to win the MVP award? No. Does that really matter? No, it also doesn't. It really, really doesn't. I also wasn't a big fan of him winning the MVP in 2022 when he set a new American League record when he had 62 home runs. And sure, he also led the AL and RBI. He nearly won the batting title, had the best on base, best slugging, 210 OPS plus, but Shohei Ohtani did it on both sides of the ball. I thought Ohtani deserved to earn it. And it seemed like, okay, now that Ohtani's in the National League, I guess Aaron Judge is just going to win it every year. And I don't know if he's going to this year. He should, sure. Look at his numbers. He should, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the fact that he has been able to rehab himself back to play a little defense in right field, that's impressive. You know, and he hasn't really, you know, missed much of a beat. Teams have been careful around him. I know this is his last two home runs that he hit in that series over the weekend in Boston, they were solo home runs. So Boston definitely pitched to him the right way. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this one ends up playing out. But if you go Judge, I understand. If you go Raleigh, I also understand. This one could be incredibly close. And you know what? If Cal Raleigh wants to just go out and hit 63 home runs and break Aaron Judge's American League home run record, well, then I think Aaron Judge himself might even say, you know what? The big dumper is the MVP. MVD? He does have the most valuable dumper. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider channel on YouTube, Blue Sky, X, you name it. Check it out. Appreciate you dropping by to this audio-only edition. But kind of momentum you've provided me here today, because you have. It's good, but unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.